to the FTN NBA podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in to the FTN NBA podcast. My name is Zach Graham, aka Kawhisenberg DFS, alongside my good buddy, my co-host, one of the sharpest minds in the fantasy industry. It's Adam Pfeiffer, decked out in his Cleveland Cavaliers NBA Jam shirt today. Adam, I know the people can't see it, but I just wanted to kind of paint the picture of what I'm looking at, because you do not fail to come decked out in your favorite team's regalia. The Bills having a great season, as expected. The Cavs, you know, missing Jared Allen the last few games, but still playing really well. The Donovan Mitchell experiment has gone, I think, just about as well as we could have imagined. How are you feeling?
Yeah, so part of it is because I have no sense of fashion or anything in my wardrobe that is anything of...
We're two peas in a pod in that sense, I think.
Yeah, like 90% of my wardrobe is Bills stuff, Cavs stuff, you know, the occasional nice sweater, nice pair of jeans.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm feeling good. Like, the Bills didn't play on Sunday, and they are now the one seed in the AFC again, so that feels good. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the most excited I've been to do an NBA pod in a long time, so it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's been a minute, right, since you and I were able to get together and get a pod out there. Rough couple weeks for you, man. You've been sick, so you've been in and out. Like, I know everybody who's, you know, in the FTN NBA community has seen you, you know, replaced on a couple streams.
I did on Friday.
Yeah,
I did the hour and a half stream with Alex. And I probably muted my mic 27 times to cough. I felt bad, but it was like, you know what? It was a fun stream. It's just like every 30 seconds I was muting my mic. But I'm on the mend, so.
Yeah, well, and it's not, we're not just excited to be back together here, healthy and ready to talk for an hour plus here. Very excited to welcome back our ex-co-host and still our good friend. It's Joe Metz. Joe, good to see you, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. I've been itching to get back on. I have a small group of people I talk NBA with, but it's nothing like the FTN NBA podcast was with us. So excited to be back here. Life's been hectic. I know, it's especially Adam, you're not only have you been sick and I'm down for the count for a few weeks, but it's the dog days of the NFL season right now. So the content grind is I don't want to say coming to an end soon, but you're near the end, or at least relative to the beginning. But I'm glad you guys can carve out some time for some NBA. I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think most people in the FTN NBA community know, you know, where you took your next steps, no longer here with us on the pod, no longer with us at FTN. You got a new job, obviously. New full-time job. Can you just tell the people a little bit about what you're doing now? Because I think it's really cool.
Yeah. So I work for Fantasy Life full-time, the Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life newsletter. I am helping spearhead the ad sales and affiliate platform efforts. 300,000 subscriber newsletter in the industry, some state-of-the-art tools, and we have a lot more coming. So if you haven't checked it out, head to fantasylife.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. Everything, literally everything on the website, every tool, every article, every link, every newsletter is completely free. And I'm still, I have an NBA podcast with two of my best friends that stood up in my wedding, have an NBA podcast. We made it a 3-man committee. So we do that every other week. But again, I've been itching to talk to Fife and Zach about some NBA, and here we are.
Well, it's Mike and Jared, correct, on the Transition 3 pod there with you, Joe. And they are also veterans of the FTN NBA podcast. I know you had them.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So yeah, everybody go check out Joe's work over there, the Transition 3 pod. And let's go ahead and get into it, because we're going to do something, you know, when Joe comes to the podcast, we got to do something a little silly, a little over the top, a little extensive. So what we're going to do, we were bandying about the ideas for what to do on this reunion pod. And I don't know which of you came up with the idea first, but we're going to do the under 25 draft here. So we've got, each of us is going to have a team. We're going to have 10 picks. So this, again, when I said an hour plus, that is the reason. We'll see just how over the top this is. But yeah, we're each going to build a team of 10 players, you know, no positional requirements, and we'll write those down and compare our teams at the end. Adam, I'll toss it to you because you were the one, I think, who came up with how we are determining the draft order. And because I didn't end up last, I'm okay with it.
Oh, I didn't know that was actually official. That was 100% a joke. My idea was, and this was just, you know, it happened to work out like this. My idea was whoever's NFL team that they root for has the best record. And it just so happened to be the no, we can do it any other way, though. I think Joe should get first pick as a special guest.
Let's go in reverse order of record then, since you're having such a fun NFL season.
So does third? Do I get? Is it a snake?
Yeah, we're snaking.
Okay, yeah, I'll take third. I mean, we talked about this.
Snake? That's not fair.
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean it's not
okay,
fair?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay,
we talked about this too. Like, I'm not spoiling anything.
We know the top four.
The first four are going to be in some order: Luka, Tatum, Ja, Zion. So you can pretty much just give me Ja and Zion, probably assuming it goes Luka and Tatum, but let's get into it. This is going to be fun. All
right, yeah, Joe. I mean, you really buried the lead there, Adam.
I mean, the lead has been buried since until Luka turns 25, and Tatum, you joke, Tatum's been 24 for like 6 years now, so.
Yeah.
Well, he finally turned 24 after being 19 for an additional 7 years. But yes, he is. While he qualifies, he will not be the first pick. The first pick is a very clear Luka Doncic.
The question is, how close is it, though?
I'm going to be honest. I think it's closer from, you know, so much of our basketball discussion centers around fantasy betting DFS. I almost think it's splitting hairs at this point from a real basketball standpoint. Like, yes, I think Boston has done a better job to surround Tatum with players that he can elevate, players that facilitate his game and make winning easier. But I also think he's proven to be, I don't want to say a more winning player than I thought he'd be, but he's been able to step up to the task more than I thought he was going to be. I think last year during the playoffs, my biggest issue with him in the conference finals and the finals, we saw him disappear in the fourth quarter. It was mostly Jaylen Brown and the ancillary pieces. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but his shot volume way down, efficiency way down, especially in the fourth quarter, which that is quite opposite of someone like Luka, where I'm still giving Luka the edge. I still believe that Luka has multiple MVPs and multiple rings in his future. When I say it's splitting hairs, I'm being clouded by what I think has been a very disappointing start to the season for the Mavs, just in the fact that they have not been able to beat teams that they should. They have not been able to beat teams that they should just absolutely destroy. And I did, as amazing as Luka has been, I went into the season expecting him to be a bit more of a teammate elevator than I think he's been this year. So he is still the overall number one for me in this category. There's not any hesitation, but I think the margin between him and Tatum is a bit smaller than people might think. So I think people have the perception that it's a pretty, pretty wide margin. I don't think it's that wide.
Zach, you gonna surprise anyone with this pick?
Yeah, no. That's why I was super happy to have the second pick here, because like obviously I would take Luka, but getting one of Luka or Jason Tatum works for me. So yeah. Would be if Luka's going number one, then it's Jason Tatum for me at two. Because I think there is a much more shallow player pool here for these elite or high upside or, you know, highly valued prospects under the age of 25. There's a lot less at the wing, the forward position, than at guard. So I think that's really like if you're thinking about this from like a, you know, we're building this team to win now or maybe just compete in a fantasy league or something, that's the argument for Tatum at one, is that there's just a more shallow player pool at forward. So I'll take Tatum.
Yeah. I don't think it's early, but like, I really don't know if Boston can be beaten right now. Like I think they have like the best offensive rating in like the last decade at least. And we know the defense is going to be better once Robert Williams is back. Yeah. And Tatum is just otherworldly.
Jaylen Brown's been fantastic this season, too. Mm-hmm. He really has.
Malcolm Brogdon's been really good. Like, they're so tough.
They're going to be just fine. After all that offseason turmoil, they're going to be just fine.
So At the third spot, I'm definitely taking Ja Morant here. I mean, not much needs to be said. I believe last year he led the NBA in points in the paint per game. This year he's right up there as well. He's just unstoppable. The question, and like, I probably should take Zion here, but because I have this, the swing pick, I won't pick for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like, that means I'm going to miss out on guys like SGA and a lot of these really good players. And I kind of want to take SGA. But like, denying the upside of Ja and Zion on the same team, yeah. Fast break. Zion has shown, like, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be as dominant as any player in the league. But man, SGA has been unbelievable this season. I'm going to take Zion just because, like, I think the ceiling is still a little bit higher, especially if he can kind of, you know, smooth things up defensively. And just the overall ceiling between a duo of Ja and Zion is kind of too much for me to pass on. But, like, especially what he's done the first part of the season, like, SGA has made it a pretty, pretty clear discussion. But I will take Zion, so I'll start with Ja and Zion. But, like, SGA, I thought about it. I really did.
Yeah, and I'm going to think about it, too, here. Zion was definitely going to be my pick if you went double guard there. And, again, I'm still thinking about this from the positional point of view where I think there's just going to be a lot more high upside guards available in the coming rounds. So yeah. I'm actually looking at some more forwards, maybe a center here. And it is like, it's super hard to pass up on all the guards.
There's so many good guards. I'm actually really glad I didn't take SGA because like there's so many guards.
Yeah. And so like, as much as I don't want to give Joe SGA, I don't think I can get there quite yet. And this is maybe a little bit of a reach, but I'm kind of building this team as if I was trying to win games. So I'm going Scottie Barnes at the fifth pick.
Wow.
Over Evan Mobley? Wow. That's terrible.
Yeah, see,
I'm joking, by the way.
For what it's worth, he is not the first person to choose Scottie Barnes over Evan Mobley. A whole committee of I just want to rehash that question.
I believe that was the last stream Joe and I did together too. Was the second it was announced, and yeah, Joe caught my initial reaction.
It broke. You were doing like an NBA live stream.
And then what? Didn't I jump on that stream too?
Yeah, you did.
Like I was off that day, but I just happened to be around. I was like, oh, I gotta jump in here.
Interesting pick, though.
Yeah. Again, it's like. It's not really the flashy name compared to some of the guys that are going to go here in the next few picks, but you know, I'm trying to build a good basketball team here, fellas. So Joe on the clock for two here, yeah. Into the second and beginning of the third.
Yeah, I do have two picks here, and you know, I went into this thinking we are picking just positions aside, best for all players, but you guys mm-hmm. are coming at it more from a roster construction standpoint. So I'm going to do the same. I'm not going to sit here and just take all guards, despite there being a copious amount of guards. But I am going to draft a guard to share the backcourt with Luka. Mm-hmm. And there are three I'm eyeing. It's between Trae Young, SGA, and Tyrese Halliburton. I am really trying everything in my power to ditch my inner bias for Tyrese Halliburton. On the last Transition 3 podcast, Mike had said this might be a hot take, but I believe that Tyrese Halliburton is on the brink of cementing himself. As long as he obviously continues his play as the next point guard with Chris Paul and Steve Nash, he said, which I think when you look at his play style, I mean you don't see players pride themselves in playmaking the way Halliburton does anymore in passing and playmaking. I mean, he had a 3-game stretch this year where he had 40 assists and not a single turnover. I've never seen that before. When I look at a player like Luka who can play off ball quite a bit, I want a player that eliminates Trae Young for me. I think their games are a little too similar in terms of being perimeter oriented. I know Luka's up there and drives per game, but I think that I don't know if Trae can do as much as I'd like him to do off ball on a team like Luka. Like he's not at that Steph level yet. And SGA's playing like an MVP caliber player this year. I'm going to go Tyrese Halliburton. I'm going to just lean into the innate bias knowing I have two picks on the board. I'm going to go with Tyrese Halliburton at six.
I love that, by the way.
I genuinely think you can surround him with any type of player.
I mean, look what Dallas – what is Dallas missing right now? They're missing a secondary ball handler. And Tyrese Halliburton would be not only would he be perfect to play alongside Luka, because he's not going to take usage away from Luka necessarily, because I talk about this with Zach all the time. Tyrese Halliburton is one of the elite playmakers in basketball, and he has his fair share of touches per game, but he's not a ball dominant point guard. Like, you know, he's not like a 25 plus, like his usage rate is not as high as you think. So he doesn't have to all of a sudden just demand all these possessions where he's holding the ball for 7+ seconds. It's going to be a lot more fluid. Plus, there's still shooters on Dallas that will shoot the ball better. So, like, theoretically, if this was a Luka, like, I'm just thinking this of what if Tyrese Halliburton was on Dallas? Because, like, that's clearly what Luka needs. Tyrese Halliburton is third or fourth in the NBA in double-doubles. Like, insane.
Well, he's the perfect player to pair with Luka, because he's a player that if you need someone to take the usage away from Luka, if say Luka's playing Toronto and Nick Nurse, as he does, sells out to stop the superstar, Tyrese Halliburton is a player that can take over as the offensive alpha without a problem. But he's also the player that can be a secondary scorer, rack up 14, 15 assists, and you're just fine. Defense is a long way to go, but we're getting there. He's also very lengthy, which I like alongside a slower.
11 assists player. Per game, 2.6 turnovers. That is...
That's absurd. It's unbelievable.
So good.
Now with the seventh pick, again, I'm now approaching this from a roster construction standpoint. The guards, Trae Young's still there, SGA is still there. I'm not going to start those guys alongside Luka, right? So I'm between one of those two, and Anthony Edwards is the other person I'm looking at. It's just hard to really capture Anthony Edwards' ceiling. I'm going to go with Edwards because I think his ceiling is much higher than anything we've seen from him so far. I think we saw glimpses of it over the last couple of weeks and games without Karl-Anthony Towns. He by far takes over as the offensive alpha, which it's been his team anyways with Cat on the team. But Edwards offers both a very nice touch from three. He can drive. He's also a very good defender. And it's hard to find a bigger two in the league. He plays a two. I think he's big enough to play a three. He's huge. Like, he is a massive human being.
Yeah.
That is a player. I think he will develop pretty quickly into a two-way superstar. So we go with Anthony Edwards to pair with Tyrese Halliburton and Luka Doncic.
Should work too. He won't be playing with Rudy Gobert. So
at this point, the only people that's going to play with Rudy Gobert.
Dude, he threw an alley-oop to Rudy Gobert the other night, and like, it literally blew my mind. I was like, they can do that? That's allowed in their offense? That's insane. Hold on. We need to establish something with this draft. Because there's only three of us. Like, we can't let Trae Young and these guys fall, even though we all have point guards, right? Like, that's what I'm struggling with.
That's been my stroke.
I mean, we can.
I can.
If we're drafting.
But we can preface it by saying, of course, Trae Young and Shea and all these point guards are, like, we would take them in a vacuum over Scottie Barnes, right? Like, but it's just more about fit.
Yeah.
I mean, Scottie Barnes depends. Also 21, though.
Yeah, it really depends.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Zach. You're up.
Well, the thing is that now that – and I do – like, I like Joe's pick of Halliburton there, especially when you were bringing up Trae Young, Joe, and, like, you talk about having one of the worst backcourt defense pairings in the league if you went Luka and Trae Young. Like,
you'd be the worst.
You literally would have had to draft Evan Mobley next. Like,
yeah. So – and because I did – you know, like I was saying, there's a lot of guards here. I still almost – get my pick. Like, I probably would have taken Hallie here, but I'll take SGA as my third pick. So now looking at SGA, Scottie Barnes, and Jason Tatum as my first three. It's going to be interesting to see who, like, I think with all of our teams, like, who you pair with some of these high usage guards, high usage wings, like, you know, will these teams actually work if we put these many, like, ball-dominant players out there? And I think that's another reason why, like, having Scottie Barnes – again, if we're looking at this from a real basketball perspective, that's the big reason for that pick. To your point, Adam, like, I don't think Scottie Barnes is going fifth just if we were drafting just based on talent or name recognition, to be sure. So now Adam up, end of round three and the beginning of round four.
So yeah, like, again, I have right now John Zion. I could go Trae Young. That's a pretty bad defensive backcourt in itself, and Zion has not been quite what we expected on the defensive end. So again, I'll preface this by saying if there were more than three of us, Trae Young would be off the board most likely already. There's still a lot of point guards we're going to talk about. Garland's on the board, Tyrese Maxey's on the board, but I'm going to do it. with my back-to-back picks. I'm going Mobley here.
I knew one of these Cavs was coming off the board.
Yeah, like, and this next pick might surprise you, but I think it's like because he's hurt right now, people are forgetting how good he is and how good he was to start the season. And gee, I wonder if he'll fit well with Ja Morant. I'm going Desmond Bane, 24 years old. I think he's the best 3-point shooter in basketball, not named Steph Curry, based off sheer volume. Like, obviously, like Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Luke Kennard, these guys are elite 3-point shooters as well. Bobby Portis.
I would have made a Keldon Johnson argument until, you know, up to 3 weeks ago. Now he can't hit a shot.
He's shooting 6 for 28 every game.
So he was second in the league and made threes until like 3 weeks ago.
He's chucking. If there's one thing I went to the
Spurs Pels game last Friday. He was, I think, 5 for 23, 6 for 23. He had at least 2 airballed threes and 1 off the top of the backboard. It was like, it was painful to watch because like I've been there in a shoot, not on an NBA stage, but I've had a shooting slump before and it fucking sucked. And like you could tell he was just like, it's killing that kid to just not, you know, because he wants him and Vassell really think that they should be leading this team to more wins than I want. So like while I'm glad they're losing, I don't like the way they're losing right now.
What?
Is Victor Wembanyama available?
I was going to ask that because I would have probably just taken him.
Yeah, he's not. No, he would have been gone anyway. No. But yeah, no. With Mobley, like obviously Cavs fan bias, but I strongly believe if he can put it together offensively and get a little bit more of, you know, a little bit of a repertoire on offense, he's taken about like, you know, he'll take like a 3 a game and he's hit a couple open threes this season, which obviously helps. If he can add to his offensive game and be like a 17, 18 point per game guy, and someone you can get it to in the post, the ceiling is like a top 10 player with what he is defensively, because he's, in my opinion, one of the 5 best defensive players in basketball. He fits well, I think, with Ja and Zion. Evan Mobley's also, I've said this many times, a really, really underrated passer. So you have that aspect too. Love that. Obviously, you want elite rim protection. And then Desmond Bane, like, I just think it's an easy pick for me with the makeup of this team. You can make the case that the 2 best young backcourts in basketball are Cleveland's with Mitchell and Garland and then Memphis's with Desmond and Ja Morant. We obviously know they can play together extremely well. I think that obviously adds to the selection. But Desmond Bane, I honestly think he is the best 3-point shooter based off like elite volume outside of Steph Curry at this point of the NBA season. If you want to make the case for like Luke Kennard or someone, that's fine. But Desmond Bane, he's taken Taylor Jenkins has said a lot over the past couple weeks, before he got hurt at least, how he's taken a step up as a playmaker as well. And he's strong defensively. Like, I just think it's a seamless fit, obviously. And yeah, Trae Young's on the board. A lot of these other players on the board. Garland's on the board. But like, if we're going about this in terms of fit, sure, I could have taken Garland and had, you know, 2 elite point guards. But I think this is the best makeup for my team right now. And it's pretty exciting. So my team right now through 4 selections is Ja, Zion, Desmond Bane, and of course, Evan Mobley in the middle.
Well, I'll go ahead
and Riley, and since we're going to be 4 picks through, why don't you read your team off as well?
Yeah, so I'm sitting right now with Jason Tatum, Scottie Barnes, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm going to add to that backcourt Adam's guy, Darius Garland.
Great pick.
Yeah, I mean, not only is this guy, you know, shooting the ball extremely well, not just this season, but last season too. You know, and on some significant volume playing next to Donovan Mitchell, 6.9 3-point attempts per game, sitting at 41%. And like the fact that he's 22 points, almost 8 assists, 2 boards, over a steal per game next to Donovan Mitchell, like we've seen Darius Garland play with high usage guards, but going back to Colin Sexton, the little bit of time that those guys were sharing the backcourt. So with SGA here as my 3rd pick, I think adding Darius Garland, a guy who's proven to be able to play at an all-star caliber level next to another all-star caliber guard, he makes the cut for my 4th pick over some of my more, I guess, the names that I desire. You know, maybe that young guard out there in Charlotte still on the board.
The most underrated guard in basketball, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm going off script here with Darius Garland.
Fair, I like it. I'm sitting here. It's honestly difficult to see the list of guards that are outstanding and be like, how am I possibly passing on these guys?
Yeah,
like how are we possibly taking, you know, Tyrese Halliburton above a guy like Trae Young or someone like that, or Scottie Barnes over SGA, things like that. But again, context is key here. From a roster construction standpoint, I'm going to continue that. I'm fading the backcourt until I absolutely need him. This might be premature. We haven't seen him much, but I'm going Paolo Banchero to start to fill out my front court. There's an argument of good stats, bad team, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe that with Paolo. He came in. Everyone knew he was NBA ready after the – and I'm willing to forgive him after the turbulent ride he put my bankroll through on draft night, where he ultimately sunk me by going number one overall because I chose to leave Woj over anyone else.
Yeah.
But Paolo's been great. I mean, 21.7 points, 6.8 boards, almost 4 assists. Efficiency's been a massive – hole in his game this year. Like he was, I think, 4 of 16 yesterday against the Bucks. Still put up a 20 and 12 triple double double with 7 assists to go along with it. Only shooting 24.5% from 3, but I think Paolo has shown glimpses of an absolute superstar ceiling. And you surround him with, I don't want to say better pieces than the Magic have, but just put him in a better situation than Orlando. If you put Paolo Banchero on a team with a backcourt of Luka Doncic and Tyrese Halliburton, I promise you he will be just fine. So I'm going Paolo to fill out my 4. And then I'm just going to fill out my starting lineup here. I've been toying around the idea of foregoing center for now and then filling out, getting a 6th man like a Trey or a De'Aaron Fox. But I'm going to go with DeAndre Ayton.
Jared Allen was on the board. Ayton's been playing great lately.
Well, I didn't know really what to expect of Ayton this year, especially after he had a pretty turbulent offseason. You know, the altercation he got into with Monty Williams in the playoffs last year, they didn't speak all offseason.
Yeah.
He made it very apparent he didn't still want to be in Phoenix. I assume you guys saw media day and just how dejected he looked and the rest of the team. I thought Phoenix was going to be a lot more trouble than they have been. Devin Booker's been great. DeAndre Ayton's been outstanding this year. I think that they learned from the mistake they made last year in the playoffs of not playing through him against Dallas. And they've been playing through him quite a bit more. He's still playing under 30 minutes per game, but still averaging 17.1 points, 9.6 boards, a couple assists. And he's an efficient shooter. These 9 for 11, 10 for 12, 10 for 14 games are much more frequent than people may think. And I think you put him alongside the right pieces and use him well. I think him and Luka and him and Tyrese Halliburton, honestly, could be absolutely deadly in the pick and roll. He's shown some glimpses of the willingness to expand his range a little bit too. So I think that is in the cards for his future. Only 24 years old. So I'm going to round out my starting lineup. So my starting 5 is going to be Luka, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Paolo Banchero, and DeAndre.
I like it too, because either way, like assuming you went, whether you went Allen, whether you went Ayton, both centers are great in the pick and roll. Both centers have great hands, and both centers, Ayton more so than Allen, I think. Allen's more of a, obviously, like, just a finisher at the rim. But Ayton has, like, incredible touch.
He has, like, finesse.
Yeah, like, I think Ayton would be, like, an ideal fit. We've seen him with Chris Paul, obviously, but, like, with Luka and or Tyrese, like, he would be awesome in that pick and roll, getting, like, to the, you know, 12 feet and in, and just quick hook shots, posts. Nice soft touch at the rim. So I think it's a good spot for him. And man, I mean, here we are. Still a lot of these guards left, and it's like, I'm up after Zach here, but like my starting 5 needs, whether I put Bane at the 3 or the 2, like I need a wing. So I don't need a guard again.
Well, I'm not gonna block you here, Adam. And I did also just want to say, like, I don't need to. I'll just piggyback off what you guys said about Ayton. I love that pick. I'm kind of surprised, to be honest, that he is playing like pretty much right to his career averages. Like, I thought
he was playing like, much better, right?
Yeah. Well, and
producing more, I should say.
I think it, to me, is more just like you said, the off season, like not communicating with Monty and coming in pouting at media day, and maybe that's putting it nicely for how it looked and like just the general vibe around that team. The fact that they haven't had Chris Paul really at all, and to be honest, like, who knows if he's not coming back now because of the heel injury or because of what was said about him on Twitter the other day. But like you mentioned DeAndre Ayton and his success with Chris Paul. The fact that he's still having the exact same success without Chris Paul and being able to be more of an offensive threat with Paul out of the lineup, like I think you're spot on when you say like him being able to fit with the guards that you have in your lineup, like he shouldn't miss a beat. If anything, right, he might be better on this, you know, hypothetical team. So I really do like that pick. And because like that was actually going to be my center that I took, and I know Jared Allen is here, I'll leave him for Adam if he wants to pick him up.
Or hear me out here.
Okay.
Adam has Evan Mobley. You could draft Jared Allen and trade Jared Allen and Jared Allen to Adam for future draft capital. And I would say Desmond Bane.
Jared Allen, like I'll take him obviously if he's there, but he's not like on my short list right now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I can trade Jared Allen for the first pick on our like over 35 draft that we do 3 months from now or something. I'm going to go ahead and scoop up as my sixth man, Trae Young. It's too far for him to fall. I'll end the fall here at the second pick of the fifth round. So Garland, SGA, Scottie Barnes, Jason Tatum in my starting lineup, Trae Young on the bench, which I think is maybe better because I can pick and choose my spots to put Trae in and when I need a little spark off the bench. And when we're, you know, when they're bum hunting him on defense, I can just take him out and put one of those other guys in.
Sure.
So Adam's up for the 5-6 turn here.
So I'm the only one. So you both have your starting fives solidified, correct?
I do not have a center.
He does not. He just took Trae as a sixth man.
So I'm obviously with one of these two selections, I'm going to take my sixth man, which is going to be one of these guards. They're too good, whether it's Tyrese Maxey, De'Aaron Fox, LaMelo Ball. The question is, Cade Cunningham's still there. We'll talk about probably soon. And then there's like legitimate six men. So like I can wait, but like I also, my starting five right now, I have Ja, Desmond Bane at the two. I don't have anybody at my three, Zion at the four, Mobley at the five. The only player that I can really make an argument for to start at the three right now for me, not the only player, but I think the best player left would be Franz Wagner. Mm. And like, it's not like, if you look at my team compared to yours, I don't think it's as sexy, right? Like, but like, I think it works. Like Franz Wagner is a really, we've seen him in multiple roles already this season where Orlando's entire backcourt has been out and he started at point guard and he's, like, we talked about it for fantasy. Like, he hasn't had monster fantasy numbers, but he's still been able to fill that role. And then he's been great off dribble handoffs this season. He's shooting, like, 47% off dribble handoffs. He's top seven in scoring off the play type, so he's been good in that role. He's been getting, like, I watched the game against Cleveland. He was getting to the rim a lot, so he would fit. And I look at it like, yes, there are some players later, like Cade Cunningham has more upside. Maybe like Tyler Hero, Jordan Poole, maybe these players have more upside. Benedict Mathurin have more upside. But I'm going to solidify my starting five and take Franz Wagner. And then my sixth man, this is tough. This is tough because like all these players could be gone, right?
You say because Jared Allen is still there? Is that why it's tough?
That too. but I need somebody that can either, you know, facilitate, run the offense off the bench, or score. So looking at it, I'm debating between two players right now, and it's De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Maxey. De'Aaron Fox has pretty much played the best basketball of his career since the Kings added Sabonis. He's been unbelievable. Fox has been elite at getting to the rim. Maxey has been injured, but like Tyrese Maxey, we've seen him become, you know, a top tier guard in this league, and we've also seen him play as the two guard next to an elite ball handler, a high usage player in James Harden. So I don't think that would be a problem if I were to play Maxey alongside Ja Morant, for instance. This is tough. I think either way, defensively, I'm in trouble if they're sharing the floor. But we've seen Fox take a step back when Haliburton was running the point guard position in Sacramento. So I think I'm going to go Tyrese Maxey, who I'm also just incredibly high on. Also, Tyrese Maxey, much better three-point shooter. So I'm going to go Tyrese Maxey as my sixth man.
Yeah, I think I like that pick better than De'Aaron Fox. And for the
it just makes reason, more sense.
For the exact reason you just mentioned, like when we're pairing these star guards together, I think, again, if all three of us are building these teams to try to win games, then like you definitely want to leave Fox for later because of how bad he was. statistically and results wise. Like De'Aaron Fox has never really been a winning.
I also NBA need more player, shooting, but, like Ja, yeah. Zion, Evan Mobley.
Yeah,
not gonna do much from the 3-point line. Franz can obviously shoot. Maxie's gonna shoot, and I don't think I'm gonna spoil it, but I will be looking for some more shooting with these next couple spots. So my starting five: Ja Morant, Desmond. Oh, I have Bane too. Never mind. What the hell am I talking about? I forgot I had Bane. So Ja, Desmond, Bane, Franz, Zion, and Mobley is my starting five. And Tyrese Maxey is my sixth man off the bench. That will be great because he's, again, like I said, he's played huge minutes next to somebody that's touching the ball all game in James Harden. So I don't worry about the fit. And again, defensively, I would say he's probably a little bit better than Fox. Maybe it's a wash. And 3-point shooting wise, he's a lot better. So,
yeah, I like the Maxey pick. And if, yeah, you're looking for more shooting, he's going to do that and he's going to do it well. I will go ahead and fill out my starting lineup here. And if you guys will allow me to just take the liberty of putting this guy at center, because he does not start at center.
I know where he's going.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Is
on the team and he will be my starting center. So
can I block this so I can get the Memphis hat trick or what?
I can't allow it. I have to have my guy there, shooting at all five positions, versatility on defense at all five positions is key right now to being a top team in the NBA. So if we're building these hypothetical, young all-star teams, Triple J, I think a pretty good bet. But it was very close for me between him and Jared Allen. But I think, if Jared Allen probably the elite rim defender in the league right now, Jaren Jackson certainly can block some shots. And so we'll try to make up for, just the lack of that just defensive monstrosity that Jared Allen is with a guy who's not too far behind him in Triple J.
I like it. You guys are leaving me with way too many ball handlers.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey was actually the guy I was targeting as my sixth man. There are three players I have in mind right now, all of them operating as primary ball handlers. And I have two picks here. So Cade Cunningham, LaMelo Ball, and Jordan Poole.
One of these is not like the other.
No, correct. Jordan Poole is not like the other. I can tell you that with certainty, despite being a massive Jordan Poole fan.
Yeah.
The reason I'm considering Jordan Poole here is because I think we've seen him effectively play off ball far more than we have seen those other two players play off ball. So if I'm looking at a team that already has Luka and Tyrese Halliburton starting, getting a sixth man like a Cade or a LaMelo Ball can come in, run a second unit, be the primary ball handler. How, like hypothetically with a second unit, how well would Cade and LaMelo work next to each other? I don't know because we don't see them play off ball. My pick for sixth man is going to be Cade Cunningham over LaMelo Ball. I think Cade Cunningham, it might surprise people, but I think Cade Cunningham has the ceiling to develop into a much better defender than LaMelo Ball does. And I have my thoughts on both these players. I think Cade has been – he's shown some flashes of being just an absolute genius on the basketball court,
yeah.
and a phenomenal player. I think his basketball IQ is through the roof. I think he sees the court better than the vast majority of players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But again, efficiency has been absolutely terrible. And then we saw him this last offseason put on a ton of muscle, which typically, if that's what he's going to do, kudos to him. But that's typically not something that helps from an efficiency standpoint. I'm not going to sit here and point out Giannis' shooting, but like, he put on 50 pounds of muscle and his shot only got worse. So yeah. it alters how you shoot a basketball. But he's cut down on his turnovers this year. He's improved his 3-point percentage. I think he feels like a very safe pick at this point in the draft. So I'm taking Cade as my sixth man. And it's just like I'm staring LaMelo in the face right now. And it's really hard to sit here and say he doesn't deserve to be picked within the first 18 picks of a 25 or a top under 25 player draft.
Yeah.
Because if anyone else looks at this and saw LaMelo on the board, they'd probably call us all crazy without the context of how we're drafting. But
right,
I mean, after the All-Star break last year, he was almost 40% on pull-up threes. He's a consistent 28-6 guy. My big knock on LaMelo is just the I'm going to sound like such a boomer when I say mental lapses, but like there are points in games where he
bad fouls
lets emotion take over. Like you'll see him try like a highlight reel dunk on a fast break in like a 3-possession game in the fourth quarter, and he misses. It's like, what are you doing? Like just score. But again, I think we've seen only a tip of the iceberg. So I'm going to take the risk here with a copious amount of ball handlers on this team and just go with LaMelo Ball, because at this point, if I'm looking at my seventh man, I'm not really looking at roster construction as much, and I want to fill out the bench with the best possible players. I'm not going to draft 6 or 7 ball handlers, but having LaMelo and Kate on the bench, I might not have to draft someone that can play point guard for the rest of the draft.
Yeah, I love that pick. That was going to be my next pick. I think at this point we have just a few guys left, LaMelo included, that they're just in another tier talent-wise, and I don't think there's any reason to let them fall further than they have. So I think we're kind of in lockstep on the thinking with that pick. And so I guess like I kind of need to do a similar thing here and get one of these, you know, high upside. And I think like more established players like a De'Aaron Fox, maybe like an RJ Barrett. And because I have such what I think is a very strong defensive starting lineup, obviously upside on both ends of the court, but with Trae Young on my bench, this does worry me just a little bit, but he's been pretty darn good this year. So I'm going to go Tyler Hero and add him to my bench alongside Trae Young. So I've got some flamethrowers on the bench. And again, you know, putting one of those guys around, you know, four of the more elite defenders that are already in the starting lineup, I feel a little bit better about that. But this is like, we're getting to the point of the draft here now where it's actually, I think, getting a little tough.
So I've run into a problem because like Jared Allen's still on the board, but that would leave me with zero shooting from my center position, which you just really like the Cavs are kind of an exception with how they're working when you, it also helps when you have Garland and Mitchell, but like you would love to have at least one of your centers that are playing, you know, significant minutes, be able to shoot the ball. So I struggle there. Then there's like, I always want to look for these like wing defenders. So like Herb Jones is out there, but I think it's too early to take Herb Jones when there's still a lot of really talented players on the board. Man, this is like Jalen Green still there, but I don't know if that's really a need for me at this point. I don't like, so how many picks are we in right now? Six? I've made six selections.
This is the 7-8 7-8.
For what it's worth, Adam, there is still one player on the board that is better than LeBron James. I'm just throwing out there.
I'll leave him for you because I know you want him.
Pair him with Tyrese Halliburton. You could,
as I say, too many Pacers on one team there.
Right. All right. I'm going to take Jared Allen and look for another, you know, center/power forward that can shoot later on. I just think at this point, like, we've seen the team work with. Now the question is, no, I take that back. I'm not taking Jared Allen because I need space with Ja and Zion. So I'm not taking Jared Allen. That is, I keep forgetting I have Zion. damn, this is tough. All right, screw it. I'm just gonna get another bucket off the bench. I'm taking Anthony Simons.
Nice.
I like it. I like it.
I wanted to take Jared Allen, but man, like, it's not as impactful for Cleveland when Garland and Mitchell can score from anywhere, but like Ja and Zion are going to get to the basket. So I'm gonna have to find. There's really not a lot of stretch, you know, fives to choose from in this
you
range.
You still
of
take Jared Allen here at 8-1.
I can, but like I just don't know if I'm gonna want to play him very often. Like like, and I'm not playing him with Mobley on this version of the team.
Right.
So I'll take Anthony Simons there. I mean, there's really no.
Guards are just nuts. There's just no big men.
One of Zach's favorite players is on the board.
Boban?
I don't think he's under 25. This might be early, but like,
that's a lot of my favorite players on the board.
That's a really good point. I wish I took Triple J now, because that would have been perfect, obviously. But then I probably overlooked them because I just have so many players on Memphis.
Yeah.
So, man, this is tough. I'll just take RJ Barrett. I don't think he's – I think he's a lot better than he's played for much of this season.
I agree.
Yeah, he's been really bad. Remember when I picked him to win Most Improved this year, Zach?
Yeah, I do.
But I'm going to take him just
– 28% from three, Adam.
Yeah, like he's not that bad.
He's a, you know, change of scenery here, coming to your new franchise. You know, you've worked with Chetty before, so you can get some of that Chetty dust sprinkled on RJ, and he'll be back to 40% in no time.
Like, and I could have, I debated between him and Michael Porter Jr., but like, if we're really being realistic about this, I just can't count on him to be healthy. Now, if we're taking away health, Michael Porter Jr. is one of the best 3-point shooters in basketball.
See, this is why I love doing these types of things with you guys, because like we're pretty close to being on the same wavelength. Like you mentioned Herb Jones, is going to be my pick here because Michael Porter Jr. is my second option. And I'm with you. Like, I just can't trust him to be like, maybe if he comes back around to my next pick and gets past Joe, maybe I'll take the shot there. But like, I just need the high floor of Herb Jones and being able to put Herb out there with Tyler Hero and Trae Young, like having him in the mix off the bench, I think is pretty important to what we're trying to do here down in with the new Austin franchise.
The new Austin franchise, I like it.
Yeah.
Herb Jones is a great pick because I was actually hoping to take him with my second pick here. And I've been eyeing Jared Allen. I just don't think I'm going to do it simply because he would – but if you look at Jared Allen, he doesn't play, he can't play the four. So you really just have to straight up split the 5 minutes with him and DeAndre Ayton. Ayton's a player that I want playing 35 minutes a game. I'm not drafting Jared Allen to play him 13 minutes at the five, and that's all. So this is going to be this. I feel like this might come as a bit of a shock. Actually, no, I'll make that my second pick, so it doesn't seem as egregious. Again, there's just so many guards right now that I don't like. I don't know. I'm going to have some lineups where like Paolo plays the three because I'm drafting another guard here. At this point, I don't know if I can let De'Aaron Fox fall anymore.
Yeah.
It's similar to that Trey debate that you had, Zach, where we're at a point in the draft now where it's really hard to sit here and just watch De'Aaron Fox fall. And if you're looking at it from simply a backcourt standpoint, he is my fifth guard. So that mitigates a lot of the risk there. Pick 24 for me, my ninth pick. I'm looking to the front court to beef up my Paolo and Ayton combo. I'm going with Wendell Carter Jr.
I like that pick.
I'm actually very, very high on him. We've seen glimpses really the last two, three years since he came to Orlando. He can be a very dominant low post presence on both ends of the ball, but he can also step out and stretch the floor. So he gives me some versatility where he could pick up those 12, 13 extra minutes at center that Ayton doesn't play, while also playing back up to Paolo at the four, sharing a front court with either of them if you want to go small. So I'm going with Wendell Carter as my first backup big. It was between him and Big Body, but Keldon's efficiency lately has left some scars. In my brain, so,
man, the recency bias is just outrageous, I tell you. I like to pick a lot there, but both of them really with De'Aaron Fox, like you said it, like it's too long to leave a talent like De'Aaron Fox off of these rosters. And if you didn't grab him, I was going to. And so I guess another guy that just falls into this category now, rotations be damned. Give me Jared Allen with my ninth pick. I will happily add him there. And if we need to go two bigs and put Tatum at the three, Jaren Jackson at the four, and Jared Allen at the five, we can do that. So it's a nice value pick there for the team. The front office is very happy. I can report that to you guys. So Adam, the 9-10 turn here.
I might just go for it and just hope he stays healthy, and I have the depth anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been shooting so well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So
that's about all he does.
And that's all he needs to do on this team. So
as your ninth guy, yeah.
Yeah, especially playing alongside Ja, Zion. So, and then this, I thought somebody would take this player. Maybe not like early, but like this was one of the players that I was hoping would be overlooked. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Lu Dort.
Damn it.
Ooh, I love Lu Dort so much.
That was my last pick.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have Lu Dort as my defensive anchor. Mm-hmm. Also, not like a – he's not a knockdown three-point shooter, but he'll provide more offensively than Herb Jones, which is why I was kind of leaning Dort. I think Herb Jones' ceiling as a defender is probably a little bit higher. Like, we saw him in the mm-hmm. playoffs last year meet Chris Paul half court, you know, yep. and just kind of yep. guard him. But I think Dort can do a little bit more offensively. Was that my last pick?
That was. That was your 10.
Shit. All right.
Well, that's when, you know, I was saying at the in our group chat a couple days ago, like, I think we should do 10 picks.
Yeah.
You guys are like, I don't know if that's too much. But now we're sitting here with more picks.
My problem is I don't have a center that can stretch the floor. So now I need Evan Mobley. Wait, I don't have a backup center.
No, you don't. Your bench is Tyrese Maxey, Anthony Simons, RJ Barrett, Michael Porter Jr., and Lu Dort.
Michael Porter Jr. is playing small ball five, I guess.
Zion's your backup center.
Yeah,
you also have Franz Wagner who can make it work if he needs to.
I mean, like, once Triple J went and I realized there was not as many centers that A could just, first of all, as many centers just in general, but second of all, that can shoot the three ball, kind of hurt my my draft. But you know, I like my team. I'm not mad at it.
Well, I'm really mad that you took Lugans Dort there, because that was like pretty clearly going to be my last pick in my mind, again, just for like how I'm building this team.
I so couldn't nice. Let you get Herb Jones and Dort.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to, I don't know if we, you know, I don't know if there's any Herb like defense Nick
and Jason there, Tatum.
Yeah. Come and Scotty Barnes. You know, don't forget Darius you Barnes. Pretty good. Too.
Opposing offenses would have been like early 2000s, 75, 86 type yeah. games against you.
So now I'm honestly, now I'm stuck between a couple guys here. I thought about getting cute with Chet Holmgren. Don't think I need that now that Jared Allen was my ninth pick. There's just a number of guys here that I would absolutely love to have on this team. But I don't think I can fit Josh Giddey in there. Like,
That's what I thought you were going to pick, to be honest.
Yeah. But like with Trae Young already on that second unit
and
really Tyler Hero, I just don't know if there's enough.
Which that, I mean, ball that, eliminates for Jordan, that eliminates Jordan Poole for you too, I assume.
Right. Especially once I have once I got Tyler Hero, Jordan Poole was kind of off Jalen the Green. Board for me. So I think, you know, I will not let recency bias dictate the way we're going to run this franchise. So I will put in the call. 65 minutes, or he's coming 65 miles north from San Antonio. Keldon Johnson on the team. The big body, you know, staying in Texas.
Well, that was my pick. Because I don't have a backup wing. You know, I guess you could. Cade's big enough where I think you could play him at the three if you absolutely
need to. But do you want to? Do you want him off the ball?
No, you absolutely do not want to. So now it gets tough here. Looking at
there's a really good wing out there that I like a lot.
Well,
he actually doesn't start on his team anymore after a recent change in their rotation, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the player I'm looking at right now is Devin Vassell.
Okay. Mine was Gary Trent. Mine was Gary Trent, by the way.
Gary Trent. So I'm looking at Gary Trent, Devin Vassell, and Benny Mathurin.
Nobody took Mathurin yet.
No one took Mathurin yet. But my issue,
I don't think we should yet.
I mean, I guess my second unit, if you hypothetically put five guys in, Cade, LaMelo, De'Aaron Fox, Wendell Carter. Oh, man, it's a small lineup. Oh, boy. This is tough. Because the thing is, you can also consider, like, Jay Nighy.
Zach, can we make a trade? Can I trade for a Triple J?
Uh-oh.
No. He makes the whole thing work, Adam.
Damn it.
But the thing is, I'm also staring at guys like Jalen Green and Jordan Poole who feel like they should be in the top 30 players under 25, right? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But
with this draft, they don't make sense.
Colin Sexton's still there.
Colin Sexton is still there. I did not say his name for a reason. Because I don't want to draft Colin Sexton. I was really hoping that Lu Dort and Michael Porter Jr. would both fall to me. But
as weird as this sounds, with all the immense talent, Lu Dort was like, because obviously he wasn't going to go early, I was like, the one player I'm going to make sure I try to get is Lu Dort. As weird as that sound.
That's so funny. So I, oh God, do I prioritize roster construction here and go with a Gary Trent or a Devin Vassell? I think I'm going to go with Gary Trent.
Love it.
Because Gary Trent does two things very well. He's a good on ball defender. He also just, to quote a very, very popular and great center, he shoots the piss out of the ball.
Yeah. Hey. So
Zach got the Jock Landale reference there. So I'll take Gary Trent. And again, this is my 10th guy off the bench. I don't think he's better than Jordan Poole. I don't think he's better than Jalen Green. But I don't think he's better than probably 5 to 6 other players that could have been drafted here. But from a roster construction standpoint, I think he is arguably the only option I have. It was either him or Devin Vassell. And I actually think I trust Gary Trent a bit more than young Devin Vassell right now.
I like that pick. It's actually the first one. So I kind of listed all of the players from every team this morning who I thought could be drafted and were under 25. And then I pulled just kind of like the best. I think it ended up being 39 players that I thought would be taken. Gary Trent was the only player taken in our 30 picks that didn't make that 39, but I think he was probably player 40. And again, it's roster construction. So I like that pick for all the reasons that you just stated.
Yeah. And again, like I can't stress this enough. Like there was early in the draft, I took Franz Wagner over like Trae Young and obviously, I don't know if it was ahead of Trae Young, but it might've been, but like, obviously like we don't rank him ahead of Trae Young, but we wanted to make the rosters work. Yeah. So that works. That makes me feel better. I didn't write my team down like an idiot. Joe, do you have the teams?
I do.
All right,
I have the whole order here as well.
So do I. Yeah, so do I.
We're going to have to put a visual out. Like, we have a companion with the pod.
My team is pretty clearly the worst, but it's all right. I also didn't get Luka or Tatum, so that stinks. But I got Zion and Ja. I can't really complain.
Well, there are holes to poke in both teams, too. Or in all teams, really. Both, I meant your guys, it's not mine.
We have no holes here. Okay? We have no holes.
I have holes in my team.
Argue.
Now we should put these teams onto 2K and sim like a round robin tournament.
10,000 sims and see who wins.
Some of the names that I had kind of in that list of like top 40 or whatever that didn't get taken. We said Josh Giddey's name, Chet Holmgren, Jordan Poole, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr. Still like only 22, I think. He's super young. He's Jabari Smith, so Alperen Şengün, a lot of Rockets there. Ooh, none of us wanted the Rockets.
I debated Kevin Herter.
Yeah, he made the list.
He's 24.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about so Alperen Şengün? He was interesting.
Yeah. No, he was on my list. Vassell, and then
if he was a shooter, I would have taken him probably.
Absolutely. Two that I think we didn't mention, or maybe I just missed it. Jaden Ivey.
Nope.
And Trey Murphy.
Is that one or no? Trey Murphy's a good one.
Yeah, we could have just named like everybody on. Well, I guess not everybody because BI is obviously, but like half the Pelicans, half of the Grizzlies, half of the Cavs, half of the Pistons, half the
Pistons.
Pacers.
I had 7 guys listed. Yeah. It was just
Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, I said Sadiq Bey was another guy I should have considered. You know who else is under 25 that none of us have mentioned?
And Poku.
Marvin Bagley's still only 23 years old.
Yep,
that is
Bagley.
Absurd to me that he's only 23.
Yeah.
Hayes, Durin, Diallo. You guys said Bay. Yeah, they have a lot. Orlando has a ton. I think we took Orlando 3 guys, but we didn't say Suggs, Anthony Fultz. Ball, still under 25.
if you really want to talk about recency bias.
Yeah.
We can talk about Ball.
Bones Highland, 22, I believe.
Yep. He's just like...
How old is Jamal Murray? 25 now?
Yeah, he's past the cutoff.
So do we have a list of players that are exactly 25? Anybody play?
Yeah, I was looking at Bam Adebayo. He just turned 25, and I was like,
What if we each added one player that's exactly 25, and that's our team? We'll close it out.
Oh God, let's see
if we can exactly find 25. It might just show like
here we go. 25-year-old Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Jamal Murray, OG Anunoby, John Collins, Bam Adebayo, Kostas Antetokounmpo. Matisse Thybulle, Thon Maker,
this can't be a comprehensive list that I'm looking at on StatMuse. 25-year-old NBA player.
Jonathan Isaac is 25. Hasn't played basketball in 25 years either.
Lauri Markkanen, Brandon Ingram. You said those guys right. Bam, yeah. OG, Jamal Murray.
Robert Williams. Man, it gets way better. There's actually front court assets when you get
25. I mean, what if we do like 25 to 30? So get one like just absolute stud. Yeah, we each get one absolute stud.
Thon McCur.
Diamond Stone, if you guys remember him from Maryland.
Mm-hmm. I remember him from, I won some money off Diamond Stone in Summer League. I think he was with the Clips.
You know who I honestly might pick?
I saw him broke both of his.
Given my holes in my roster, I might just take Cat. Clearly, I need some shooting at the center position.
Let's see. Who
this is like the perfect here. Year. Like this is a perfect episode to just demonstrate how much talent there is in the NBA. It's insane.
There is.
Yeah, I mean, we could have done an 8-team draft with just under 25 players.
Easily.
Yeah. Absolutely, could have done an 8-team draft.
All right, so Joe, why don't you recap the teams?
I had first pick, Zach had second, Adam at third. Starting lineup for me with the first pick, Luka Doncic, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Paolo Banchero, and DeAndre Ayton. The bench five is going to be Cade Cunningham, LaMelo Ball, De'Aaron Fox, Wendell Carter Jr., and Gary Trent. Zach at the second pick took Jason Tatum. His starting lineup will have Jason Tatum, Scotty Barnes, Darius Garland, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jaren Jackson Jr., Trae Young as a sixth man with Tyler Hero, Herb Jones, Jared Allen, and Kelvin Johnson. And then Adam at the three took John Morant. Rest of the starting lineup is Zion Williamson, Evan Mobley, Desmond Bane, and Franz Wagner. Sixth man, Tyrese Maxey. Then he's got Anfernee Simons, RJ Barrett, Michael Porter Jr., and Lugans Dort. Rounding out his 10. These are some pretty, pretty good rosters. That is a lot of talent in the NBA.
Yeah, I think why my team probably doesn't like look as good is like you guys have more star potential players or star players.
Because there's also like, just more name value. Like that's the thing is like someone like LaMelo Ball is going to be far more popular than Desmond Bane. But
Desmond Bane, Desmond Bane for like the hardcore NBA fan, everybody knows that he's an incredible player. Like he's insanely, insanely good. But like he doesn't draw as much attention, and you know on paper it doesn't look as appealing as having Trae Young or a lot of these guards that went late. But like the fit, like it just made too much sense, obviously, for me. So if I had a center that could shoot, I would love my team a lot more. But like you can't go wrong with any of these three teams. I mean, just not only are these the best young players, but like these are some of the best overall. Like how many top 10, let's say top 15 players did we draft? Tatum, Luka.
Top 15 players Ja. Did we draft? Tatum,
yeah. Luka, Tatum, Luka, and Ja are top 15 without question.
Yes. Let me look at the list.
SGA?
Here.
Yeah, you have to have him top 15 right now.
We're saying top 15 right now. So it's really top 15 this season. I think Halliburton has an argument.
Probably a stronger argument for Zion, maybe?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're the two seed right now, right?
Yeah. I would put Zion top 15
now. So we got Luka, Tatum, Zion, Ja, SGA. That's five. For sure, I would say, our top 15.
That's crazy.
And then, Garland isn't there yet. I don't think Halliburton's quite there yet, but, like, it's more so just because the position's loaded still.
But the thing is, you look at, say, expand it to top 25 players in the league.
Right.
And then I think Halliburton is there, Garland's there, Trae Young is there. There's an argument for Anthony Edwards to be there. I think he is. They make up.
It's insane.
A third of the top 15, almost a half of the top 25.
Next week, we'll do 35 and over.
After seeing Udonis Haslem's latest defensive.
So if you don't have the first pick in that draft, you're screwed.
There is a
two picks.
Kevin Durant and LeBron.
There is a 15 player pool if we do over 35. So that's 35 and over. 35 and over, so like including 35-year-olds, there are 15.
We should do that because then we each just get a starting five, and it can be like the geriatric basketball.
And we can do it right now if you want. I'll take the first pick in LeBron and win the draft.
I will counter that. Isn't Kevin Durant 35?
No, Durant's not 35.
No, he's 34.
Then never mind. You win the draft. Congratulations.
Way to go, Zach.
You know, I guess you could say, you know, if
Chris Paul, how old is Chris Paul?
Yeah, Chris Paul is the second oldest guy, I believe, in the league.
At this the point, oldest I would of the four draft Carmelo Anthony over anyone on an active roster that's 35 or old.
I mean, really, like CP, Horford, Kyle Lowry, those are the three. Mike Conley.
I might take Conley there. Second.
Right? I mean, and a lot of these guys are hurt.
Yeah. So. Surprise, surprise.
Now, Horford just got an extension, didn't he?
Yeah.
What a career for years, that guy.
2 year, $40 million, right?
What a career for that guy.
Remember when he went to the Sixers?
Yeah. Remember when he went to the Thunder and just like rested for a year? And then I think Brad traded up. Would he trade Kemba Walker's knees for Al Horford?
Yeah.
Unreal.
Could I draft Dwight Howard, even though he's not in the NBA?
I mean, he's putting up fucking numbers right now over there in Taiwan.
Oh, yeah. And the same thing that Klay Anthony Early is apparently just running through right now. If you remember Klay Anthony Early, the standoff Wichita State, right?
It was Wichita State, yeah. And then didn't he get drafted by the Knicks?
Yep.
They got sucked into that March Madness, Klay Anthony Early.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us, everybody. Just over an hour here on the 25 and under draft. We'll put up, again, some visuals with the teams, the draft order, et cetera, to see how it all shook out. And before we get out of here, again, Joe, fantastic to have you back. We'll have to do another one before the end of the season. Clearly, it won't be the 35 and over draft, but we'll think of some sort of fun gimmicky thing as we always do. Any last words for the listeners?
Oh, I mean, I appreciate you guys having me back on. It feels good to be back. And we have a lot. I mean, it seems like the NBA season's been going on for 4 or 5 months at this point, but you know, the Christmas is typically viewed as the start of the NBA season for casual viewers. And we're still 3 weeks away from Christmas. So we have a long, fun season out of us.
Yeah, one of my favorite NBA gambling days of the year, Christmas, for sure. You know, the little 5-game slate we get. I can't wait. Adam, Bills, Cavs, you're having fun. Any last words before we get out of here?
No, I mean, always fun chatting with Joe. I'm still at the point where it's like I'm excited about the Cavs. But it's almost, for this season at least, not saying it's not worth being excited, but like, nobody's beating Boston or Milwaukee. Like, just not happening.
Correction, nobody's beating Milwaukee, but yeah, go on. I had to slip a buck slant.
I mean, Chris is back, so like, they could easily be the best team in basketball for the next however many months. But yeah, I mean, a lot of teams started off slow too, so we're starting to see a lot of these teams bounce back and get going. And we're week 14 for football, so pretty soon it's going to be just all basketball for me all the time, which I don't complain about. So,
yeah, we talk about teams starting off slow. The Spurs started like at a snail's pace with those 5 wins in their first like 7 games or whatever.
How crazy was it? San Antonio, the Pacers, the Jazz, Utah, all these teams we expected to be tanking, you know, bottom of the standings. Utah's taking a step back, and San Antonio's taking the correct step. They've taken a step forward, I guess.
Exactly. We're playing great now.
Indiana, like they got a nice roster there all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I wonder what they do with Miles Turner at the deadline. That's gonna be interesting.
Well, that's the thing too, right? Is like these guys are like you mentioned the Pacers. Well, they're 2 games over .500. They have the same record as the Hawks, better records than the Nets, Sixers, Raptors, Heat.
I mean, Sixers lost to Houston last night. I know Harden didn't play, but like
Harden did play.
Oh, Harden did play. I meant Maxie didn't play. Yeah, Harden played. Maxie didn't play. Yeah,
Harden was just looking forward to what was going on after the game back home there in Houston. You know, I'm sure he went.
Think about the return parties that were thrown for him last night.
Apparently, Joe, we were discussing this in the FTN Discord. We had some insight that he was going to Lil Baby's birthday party after the game.
Oh, there was no way he was focused on the game, man.
Yes. Yeah, so it was on a minutes limit, too. And, Adam, you mentioned the Jazz. Like, Jazz still 2 games over .500. taking a step back. And that step back is just three games behind the Suns for the one seed.
It's also perfect for them because all of the players that they have, they're probably going to, I don't want to say probably, but most likely going to look to trade the deadline. Value skyrocketed from the start of the season. So,
well, and I'm just sitting here again. If I can, you know, Joe's back. So, like, I got to get a little Sparkle Jerk here in at the end. Like, not, it's not enough just to draft Keldon with my last pick. It's that the Spurs have lost 11 in a row. I believe 15 of their last 16. They're in last in the West. Houston, huge win last night. Huge game on Thursday, Joe. Spurs versus Rockets. The Spurs can open up a two-game lead in the West.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. And the thing is, you look at
Tankathon. Keldon, right, take the night off, Keldon.
Look at Tankathon right now. The Spurs are 1.5 games back to the worst record in the NBA. That currently held by the Orlando Magic on a 9-game losing streak, and the Pistons that are 6-19 without Cade. Pistons are in no rush to bring Cade back. And I think going back to what we talked about, the efficiency concerns with Keldon, I think there's an angle here to argue that Keldon is fully capable of shooting very well every game, 40% from three even.
Sure.
But he wants to play with one of the most generational players that may ever grace the basketball court next year. So he's completely selling his game right now.
Yeah.
In honor of Wemby. Like these misses are too egregious to buy. that's the hill I'll die on at this point.
Well, you know I love to put my tinfoil hat on, and that's a Spurs conspiracy that I can get on board with. So that'll do it here for us, folks. We appreciate you tuning in. Check out the Transition 3 pod. Joe, Mike, Jared. You know, maybe you'll find Adam and myself there in a couple weeks for a little guest spot. We'll see. We'll talk about it. And keep an eye out for the visual of the draft we just completed. So it gives me great pleasure to say this once again. For Joe, for Adam, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APFeifer24, at JMeds34, and at KawaisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.